This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, October 20th, 2024.
Lord, and our God, and be filled, because He knows what we all stand in need of. Because He created us for a purpose. And hopefully, after today, we more understand what that purpose is, to the glory of God. Amen. So our scripture reading today is Psalms 8. And the title of the message is called God's Victory Speech. This is a Psalm of David, and it is a speech of victory to the glory of God. So if you have it, if you can stand, if you're able, we'll read Psalms 8 together. I have the New King James Version, so please bear with me. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in the name of your son Jesus, you know what we stand in need of today, individually and corporately as a body, Lord. We waited expectation for you to fill our needs to your glory. Have your way today, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we take seat. God's victory speech. Have you ever experienced a good victory speech? I had a football coach in college, and he was a Marine, and he was a true Marine. His stance on stripes were no stripes belonged on the uniforms, because all stripes only belonged on the American flag. So we were the only team in the whole conference that had no stripes on our socks, uniforms, helmets, anything. But Coach Baldwin is his name. He has since passed. And like I said, he was a Marine. He used to get us up every morning during camp at 5 in the morning, and we would run 3 miles every day for 2 weeks in the start of football season. And he would lead us. And this man was in his 60s. But anyhow, before every game, he would give a speech. You know, Rob, I'll get you all charged up and everything. But when you won, after you accomplished the victory, the speeches that he would give are memorable. And he would give out a game ball. And I still remember, I don't remember all the words there, but I remember how it made the whole team feel. Because it filled us with hope because of an accomplishment, because of what we have done as a group. Well, today, we're going to talk about God's victory speech. Because God has won a victory, and he has given a speech throughout Genesis, into the Old Testament, into the New Testament, into today. And we are part of that speech. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God created man and woman as a manifestation of his glory and power and sovereignty over sin, over death, over chaos and over the destruction that is running amok in our world today. You've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it over and over and over again until he tells me to move on. Because this is what we are involved in. But as we see in Romans, it says, but professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served what is created rather than God, who is blessed forever. Now we see this written in Romans, but it happened back in Genesis 3, where the truth of God was exchanged for a lie. And we see how that has played out throughout Scripture and in our time today. We still have people exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we get in the right situation, we are doing the same thing. It says in Romans, because of this, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, women, and children who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So my question today, what is this truth that is being suppressed? You can read Romans on your own and you can see the outcome of this, what takes place. Or you can just walk down the street, or you can look at the news, or you can go in your local high school, or you can sit down at your kitchen table, or you can look in the mirror. It will be revealed to you, because it's his glory. And men and women were created to express this glory and his victory over and power and sovereignty over sin, over death, over chaos, and over destruction at work in this world. So what is this truth being suppressed? My claim today, it's me, it's coming out of my mouth, I'm making this claim, and you can confirm it with the word, because I have to answer for it before him, right? I am the preacher today, so I got to answer every word that comes out of my mouth. So, what is this truth? My claim is that the truth that is being suppressed is God's purpose for his creation. This is not deep. You don't need a theological degree from Harvard to understand this. The truth that is being suppressed is God's purpose for his creation. And as I started out, my hope today is that we leave here with a better understanding of this truth and for the role that we all play in declaring this truth in our society. It's more than just coming and singing songs, paying tithes, quoting scripture. We got a role to play in God's plan in 2024. Fourth and Harry Streets. That's the address, right, Pastor? Fourth and Harry Streets. We have a role to play in this society for God's plan. And that should excite you. It should bring you to life no matter what condition you are in. You're a part of what God is doing. We are not some inactive player that's watching what's happened. He is working out his plan through you and me. That should be exciting. So that brings us to our scripture here today. And so we start out in David. As I said, it's his victory speech. He starts out with an exhortation in acknowledging God's glory in his creation. Oh Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. moves on in verse 2, and he says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, is what my interpretation has. Yours might have children and infants. You have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When creation fulfills its purpose, we see the glory of God in silencing the enemies of God. So any and everything that stands in opposition to God's truth is silenced by his creation. That is what he is intended when he created man and woman. To show his glory, his power, his sovereignty over sin, death, chaos, destruction in this world, and we're going to see in our lives. Amen. But he gives us imagery here. He gives us imagery of this is going to be accomplished through infants and children. Who are the most dependent people on the face of the earth? Who are the most vulnerable people on the face of the earth? Who are the weakest of humanity on the face of the earth? Infants and children. And God said he's going to accomplish the intention for his creation through the weak and those who are dependent on him. It is through his creation, those who are dependent on him, that he will shut the mouth of his enemy. We see that it was intended in Genesis for that. He told Adam, and he told Eve, don't eat from this tree. Everything else you could have. And then the serpent comes up, as it is described here, Satan, and tempts him. Has God really said that you shouldn't do this? He wants to keep something from you. And they fell for it. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And it's going on. We see the result of that. So it's through the mouth of children and babes and infants that God establishes his strength and the purpose and intention for his creation, which includes us, is to silence the mouth of his enemy. Just think about that. How important you are and the life that you have, that God is going to use that to silence the mouth of his opposition. File that here. Because sometimes that is all you're going to have when you find yourself in a situation where there is nothing else that you can depend on but that. That he has created me for a purpose, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what situation my body is in, my mind is in, my finances is in, my family is in, no matter what situation. You and I, if we are in him, have been created for a purpose. And that purpose is to silence the mouth of the enemy. Or enemies, all those who stand in opposition of him. Whether that person is out there claiming straight out blasphemous things, or whether that person is standing behind his desk doing the same exact thing. It was more dangerous if you're standing behind this desk doing it. Then we go on to verse 3 through 8. And he goes, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him, for you have made him just a little lower than the angels. And you have crowned him with glory, and you have crowned him and her with honor. You have made him and her to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. So what we see that in light of the glory and majesty of God in creation, we see that the crowning glory of all this moon, the stars, the fish, the animals, the sea, the crowning glory of all God's creation is you. 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 You and me. Man and woman, humanity is the crowning glory of God's creation. And I claim that one never fully understands man's role, mankind's role in this world without knowing the original purpose that God had intended for his creation. We must come to a knowledge of what God has intended for his creation and what that means for our existence. And then we go to verse 9, and he closes it like he starts it with an exhortation for God and the glory of him that is being expressed in his creation. And David goes, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth." So, David worships the Lord because of the glory attributed to God in creation. All right, that's all well and good, but what does that mean for us? Psalms 8 leaves out one thing that we all know because we all read the book. It excludes our failure, our man's failure, our humanity's failure to faithfully carry out their proper role as God's creation. Our role as God's creation is to shut the mouth of his enemies and to be an expression of his glory, his power, and his sovereignty over sin, over death, over chaos, over destruction that is at work in this world. When you look on your life, does it meet that standard? That's rhetorical. Rhetorical. But that's what you had to think about, because that's what we were created to do. Does it meet that standard? So the question becomes, how do we? Because this is just not me standing up here doing an academic exercise or lecturing you, but how do we live according to God's purpose for our lives in this world? I'm glad you asked, because I do have the answer today. Well, I don't have the answer. I'm here to deliver the answer. So Jesus fulfills the intentions expressed and celebrated in Psalms 8. In Hebrews verse 2, Paul says, "What is man?" He quotes directly from Psalms 8. He says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him and her a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him and her with glory and honor and set them over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet." And this is Paul quoting what David had said in Psalms 8. God's victory speech is his creation over his enemy. And we are a part of that. And that is our role. The life that we live is supposed to be a part of that victory speech. So he goes on in verse 8, he says, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet, but now we do not yet see all put under him." Look back at your life. Is it meeting the standard that God had when he initially created man and woman? Is your life meeting that standard 100%? I'm going to answer it, no. No. But it's okay. Because then it goes on in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made just a little lower than the angels, for suffering of death. He was crowned with glory and he was crowned with honor, that by the grace of God, he tastes death for everyone who believes. For you, I, us, and for those who have yet to be called in, we have a role to play. God is sovereign. God is more powerful. And God's glory needs to be manifested over all opposition to him and the intention that he has for his creation. Because there is an enemy that is working to turn that around. You see what he did in the garden. And he's probably doing some of it in our lives too. Not probably, he is. So in 2024, it's God's creation that silences the mouth of his enemy, because what sin prevented in your flesh, y'all, sin in the flesh, everybody knows what that is, right? If you don't know, stay around no longer. Because what sin prevented in your flesh, Jesus had made possible in his own body. Paul goes on to say in Colossians 1 that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the head of the body, which is the church, and the first that is born from the dead. Having preeminence means he is superior and above all of God's creation. Because of what happened in Genesis, God had to come and create and start over again. Jesus is the new Adam. Jesus is the first one who has risen and been created from the dead. And all others subsequent to that, following his footsteps, and become children of God. And we are redeemed, each and every one of us, who have taken refuge in him. It says, in him we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to his grace. So your redemption, my redemption, our redemption, anyone who believes redemption, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstances they may find themselves in, receives an inheritance, which is the salvation of their soul, evidenced by your name, our names, being written in heaven. And I'm coming down to the end, but I have to read this portion of Revelation. You guys are still doing Revelations, right, Pastor Dennis? I believe these are still on Revelations. And this is to close this up. Because as I say, the purpose of God's creation still to this day is to silence the mouth of his enemy. Your good works won't do that. Your good works, well, the Pharisees tried that. And they set up idols in their heart. And Jesus corrected them to their face. They were the main ones that he went at, because they were the hypocrites with capital H's. So don't get enamored by somebody that quotes scripture. Don't. Because the temptation is to set up that idol in your heart. And you're, as they say, busting hell wide open. You know, you need someone who is manifesting the humility of what God has done. And the Holy Spirit will let you know. He will also let you know those who have set up idols in their heart, because he'll set different situations up to expose who they are. He does. And thank God for it. And we pray that they repent. Because the first fruit of repentance is what? Confession. And then after confession, he says, if you confess your sins, he will forgive you of your sins. And then you produce the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, so on and so forth, against all those other things, the works of the flesh. And I name them, we know what they are. So Revelation 21, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also there was no sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is now with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these things, John, because these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of waters of life freely to all who thirst. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation 22:1 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb of God. And in the middle of his streets and in either side of the river was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits. So we have an image here of the garden with the tree of life. But no tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge is gone. And then we have a garden that is placed in a city that is populated with his people, which is what his original intention was from the beginning. In his infinite wisdom, glory, majesty, and power, what he originally intended, he worked out from Genesis to Revelation and incorporated our failures. Infants, children, vulnerable, weak, dependent. Because he wanted to focus his creation on him. There was no way that they would be able to silence the mouth of the enemy without depending on the Creator. And we are here as testimonies and witnesses to his power and majesty and sovereignty over all the chaos. So be hopeful, people, when you see what's going on out there. Remain hopeful, because the enemy is trying to beat the fight out of all God's people. But he has left a remnant, and he has given us a charge that we are supposed to be the manifestation of what he has intended for creation. Warts and all. So we go on where I'm at. In the middle of the streets and on either side of the river was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. There shall be no more night. They will need no lamp nor light or sun, for the Lord God gives light, and they will reign forever and ever with him. Verse 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he and she who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. God will forever glory in his creation. I need you to remember that God will care for you into eternity. He has promised it, and we just read it as confirmation. The life that you now live in this world is God's victory speech. Like my coach Baldwin, God has a victory speech too. And he's doubling down on what he said in Genesis. He's doubling down today, and your life is the doubling down of that. The life you now live in this world is God's victory speech to his enemies, to all those who live in opposition to his purpose for his creation. Because you are God's victory speech to his enemy, he knows and he will care for you. And that is what I want you to leave with too. No matter what situation you are in, God cares for you. That might be all you have one day, and that'll be all you need. Because you know what awaits you. You know what God has intended because he has created you. You know what he has promised you because you have taken refuge in Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Lord, I don't know the situation of people's salvation or hearts, but you do. I pray, Lord, that you permeate every obstacle, that you permeate every wall, so you will manifest the love that you have for them and for us. Lord, we claim victory today, and we count it an honor to be your victory speech in all the situations that we find ourselves in. In Jesus' most holy name we do pray. Amen.